Let us offer our most reverential and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of the one who is in fact the invisible director of every moment of our lives. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we know that you are with us every moment of our day, and we talk to you, we think of you, and we have you with us in everything we do throughout the day. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to a fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today we learn a bhajan which adores our beloved Bhagwan as the Sadguru. This bhajan is in Sanskrit, and the first line of the bhajan goes like this.
Sakshat Parabrahma Sai Guru Vandana Satya Sai.
So this is what we will learn now, and like always we will start with becoming familiar with the lyrics, and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga, the tala, and in the end we will listen to a short conversation with Brother Balram Chandran, a former student of Bhagwan's University and a singer in the Prashant Nilayam Mandir.
Sakshat Parabrahma Sai Guru Vandana Satya Sai Guru Pada Ranjana Guru Paramesha Guru Brahma Guru Vishnu Mahesha Sadguru Sai Parti Purisha Charana Namostute Sai Mahesha.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learning how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Then you will hear Brother Anirudh follow Ravi Kumar after every line. You too, dear listeners, please join Anirudh. You will get a flow of how this bhajan flows.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C sharp Pancham.
Sakshat Parabrahma Sai Guru Vandana Satya Sai
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 Guru Padaranjana Guru Paramesha
Guru Padaranjana Guru Paramesha
Guru Brahma Guru Vishnu Mahesha
Guru Brahma Guru Vishnu Mahesha
Sadguru Sai Parti Purisha
Sadguru Sai Parti Purisha
Sadguru Sai परती पुरीशा
सद्गुरु साई परती पुरीशा
चरण नमोस्तु ते साई महेशा
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 साक्षात परब्रह्म साई गुरुवंदना सत्य साई
So having heard to how this bhajan flows, let's now discover a little more about this bhajan in terms of its composition. Anirudh is here with us in the studios to tell us more about the raga. So tell us, Anirudh, what are your thoughts on the making of this bhajan?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
It's my pleasure to share my views about this bhajan.
Yes.
And it is a very magical tune along with the lyrics of Sakshat Parabrahma Sai, and it really gives a feel of the Guru Vandana.
Yes.
And this bhajan is based on the rag. What I feel is... Bhimpalas in the Hindustani music, and we call it Abhiri in the Carnatic classical music, whereas it has a small touch of a Carnatic raga called Karahara Priya. I'll show you the difference between both the ragas. In Abhiri, that is Bhimpalas, you have Sa Ga Ma Pa Ni Sa, and while coming down
Sa ni dha pa ma ga re sa.
So while going up, you have only sa ga ga is komal ga, which is minor ga.
Ma pa ni.
Ni is ni one, komal ni.
Sa ni dha.
Dha is shuddha da.
Pa ma ga re.
Re is also shuddhri. So you should be very careful while going up.
Sa ga ma pa ni sa ga ma pa ga sa ri,
that becomes a different raga.
Sa ri ga ma pa da ni sa is Karahara Priya.
Okay.
Sa ri ga,
all the notes are same. The ga is komal ga, only the ri shudri is added. And
padha
shuddha is also added. So you have all the seven notes while going up and while coming down also.
Sa ri ga ma pa da ni sa sa ni da ba ma ga ri sa.
This is called Karahara Priya.
Okay.
Yeah. So in this bhajan you can observe, like, whereas some places where, you know,
sa ga ma pa,
the phrases which are related to Abhiri are sa ga ma pa ni, that kind of ascending phrases. Whereas when you have phrases like
sa ri ga ma sa ri,
so if the ri comes off while going up in between sa and ga, so it becomes Karahara Priya.
Okay.
So it is more or less based on Bhimpalas, which is Abhiri. But whereas there are some lines where you have the Karahara Priya touch of it, the essence of Karahara Priya is also there.
Okay.
It's a beautiful tune, and you have similar bhajans like
Jaya Jaya Govinda Narayana.
Beautiful bhajan.
Prathama Vandana.
Oh yes.
Gananatha.
And also you have
Jaya Jaya Rama Jaya Raghu Rama Dasharatha Nandana Raja Rama.
Yeah, wonderful. So would you like to do a small alap, Anirudh, before we move on to the swaras of this bhajan?
Yeah, I will try to do my best. So at the end of my alap, I'll sing and show you the difference between the Abhiri and the Karahara Priya.
Hari. Na 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 pani gare ni sa sagama pani sa sanidava magare sa sarigama padani sa sanidava magare sa.
So the first one what I sang was Bhimpalas, and the second one what I sang was Karahara Priya.
So shall we do this for us now?
Yeah, we'll do the first line.
Yeah.
Sakshat Parabrahma Sai Guru Vandana Satya Sai Pasapapa Magarini Samama Madasani pagama papa
pasapapa magarini samama madasani pagama papa
guru padaranjana guru paramesha pani mamani nini Sani pama papa
Pani mama nini Sani pama papa
Guru Brahma Guru Vishnu Mahesha Pani mama nini ri Sani pama papa
Pani mama nini ri Sani pama papa
Sadguru Sai Parti Purisha Gagari Gaga Rigari Sani Ri Ri Ri
Gagari Gaga Rigari Sani Ri Ri Ri
Charana Namostu Te Sai Mahesha Gagari Sari Ni Sani Papa Ni Gari Sa Sa
Gagari Sari Ni Sani Papa Ni Gari Sa Sa.
In the second time you have a beautiful variation.
Charana Namostute Sai Mahesha Gamari Sari Ni Sani Papa Pani gari sa sa
Gamari sari ni sani pa Pani gari sa sa.
Beautiful. And you mentioned that there are so many similar bhajans also in this raga.
Yeah, and also there's a very popular and famous kriti.
Nagumo muganale ni na jale telisi.
Beautiful Kriti.
Yes.
And
so shall we move on to the beat?
Yeah. The beat of this bhajan is a regular 8 beat.
Yeah.
And it is a maybe medium bhajan where it can come 3rd or 4th.
Yeah.
Or probably 5th in the 1 hour bhajan session.
Yeah.
The count is 1, 2, 3, 4
Sakshat Parabrahma Sai Guru Vandana Satya Sai
Sakshat Parabrahma Sai Guru Vandana Satya Sai.
Nice. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So now we are done with the raga, the tala, the lyrics, Let's move on to understanding the feeling with which we should sing this bhajan. And we can do it with feeling only when we understand what is conveyed in every line, in every word of this bhajan. So let's begin by trying to unravel what is conveyed in every word of this bhajan. We begin with the first line.
Sakshat Parabrahma Sai Guru Vandana Satya Sai.
Here Sakshat means verily or truly. The word Parabrahma can be split into Para meaning highest and Brahma, which in this context refers to God. The third word Sai means master. Guru is teacher or preceptor. Swami has revealed on so many instances that Gu means darkness, Ru means light. Therefore, Guru is one who dispels darkness through the light of wisdom. Another interpretation is that the Gu in Guru is Gunatita, which means one who is beyond the gunas or attributes. Ru in Guru is Rupa Varchita, which means he is beyond form or Rupa. Hence, a true Guru is one who is beyond attributes and who transcends forms. The fifth word Vandana means salutation. The sixth word is Satya, meaning truth. In his discourse on the holy Vijayadashami day of 2008, Bhagwan spoke about truth and said, Satya or truth is the most important quality I look for in people. Wherever I go, I teach only truth, for from truth emerges righteousness or dharma. And then pointing to himself, Swami said, this Satya Narayana is the embodiment of truth and righteousness. It is for propagating these two human values that Lord Satya Narayana has incarnated in human form. Whatever I speak is truth, truth, and nothing but truth. Sometimes people do not follow my words properly or take my words lightly, thinking them to be just a joke or fun. Whatever I speak, even if it is a joke or for fun, it is truth, truth, and truth only. Bhagwan further elaborated on what truth actually is and said, truth is oftentimes construed as giving expression to one's own thoughts. It is not as simple as that. It is much more. It is putting them into action. Truth is one with perfect accord between one's thought, word, and deed. Truth does not make any distinction. It has neither friends nor foes. It has no hatred or dislike against anyone. All are children of Satyam. All are children of truth. Hence, all are equal to me. I do not make any distinction between people. In volume 1 of Satyam Shivam Sundaram, Professor Kasturi writes about how Bhagwan was hailed as a guru. Even as a young child, the young Satya kept away from places where pigs or sheep or cattle or fowl were killed or tortured, or where fish was trapped or caught. When a bird was selected and talked about by someone in connection with dinner, little Satya would run towards it and clasp it to its bosom and fondle it, as if the extra love he poured on it would induce the elders to relent and spare the fowl. Even at that young age, Satya abhorred non-vegetarian food just like his grandfather. He used to run to the Karnam's house, for they were vegetarians, and take the food offered by Subbamma. Satya rarely retaliated when he was handled roughly by playmates. Although information about such ill treatment came to his parents through other kids, Satya never said a word. In fact, Satya even did not seem to suffer any pain or discomfiture. He always spoke the truth and never resorted to the usual tricks that children tell in order to cover up their mistakes. At the tender age of 3 or 4, little Satya behaved as if he had a heart that melted at human suffering. Whenever a beggar appeared at the door and raised his cry, Satya left off play and rushed in to force his sisters to dole out a grain or food. The adults were naturally irritated by the endless procession of outstretched hands. They easily lost temper. They sometimes shouted the beggar off. And this made little Satya weep so long and so loud that only by bringing the dismissed beggar back could the elders stop the wailing. In fact, sometimes in order to put a stop to what the little elders thought was expensive and misplaced charity, Madheshwaramma caught hold of little Satya once and with a finger raised in warning, she said, "Look here, you may give him food, but mind you, you will have to starve." However, even this did not daunt Satya. He used to run inside and bring out food to the hungry man at the door and stay away for dinner or lunch himself. Nobody and nothing could persuade him to come to his plate, which was left untouched. When Satya began running about in the street, he sought out the maimed, the blind, the decrepit and the diseased, and he led them by the hand to the doorstep of the parents. The sisters had to discover from the store or kitchen some grain or food and put it into the beggar's bowl, while little Satya looked on happily. Satya was held up before the children as the ideal by every mother and father, and so often the children began to refer him as a guru. And the parents and others came to know about this under strange circumstances. It was Ram Navami, and late in the night, the procession wended its way around the village. A huge picture of Sri Rama was placed on a flower-bedecked bullock cart, and the priest sat upon it in order that the flower garlands offered by the householders could be placed on the picture and the camphor they presented be duly burnt and waved in front of the image. The pipers and drummers awakened the sleeping villagers, and thus the cart proceeded along the uneven roads. Suddenly, the two sisters of Bhagwan discovered that the little Satya was not at home. A search was ordered and men ran about frantically looking for him. It was already past midnight, and then this procession of Lord Ramachandra on the bullock cart came outside their home. And when the inmates of Pedda Venkaparaju's house went to the doorstep, they were surprised to see their 5-year-old Satya sitting on the bullock cart, nicely dressed and with evident authority underneath the picture of Rama. They asked the companions why he was seated there on top and not walking with them on the road, and prompt came the answer, "He is our guru." And Professor Kasturi writes, "Yes, he is the guru of the children of all ages, of all climes." So that is Satguru Sai. So when we sing this line, we reverentially salute Satya Sai, who is verily the supreme God and is the supreme preceptor. Let's move on to the second line.
Guru Padaranjana, Guru Paramesha.
Pada means feet, Ranjana means pleasing, Paramesha comes from Parama, meaning supreme, and Isha, which means master. Bhagwan says that the term Isha means Sakala Aishwarya Sampanna, or the one who is the master of all types of wealth. Aishwarya does not include only movable and immovable property. It also means strength, knowledge, skill, intelligence, prosperity, and Isha is the master of all such wealth. During a discourse on March 4, 1970, Bhagwan explained, "Every one of you has the yearning to do Pada Seva or touch my feet and massage my feet. If I give the chance to all who are pining for it, what will happen to my feet? What a rush there will be around me. In the very nature of things, all those who yearn for such a chance cannot be satisfied. But know that my feet are everywhere, sarvata panipadam. The Gita says, in all places there are his hands and his feet. The Purusha Sukta of the Veda says, sahasra shirsha, purusha sahasraksha, sahasrapad. The supreme sovereign person has 1,000 heads, 1,000 eyes and 1,000 feet. And then Bhagwan went on to emphatically declare, "The heads, the eyes and feet of the thousands who gather here are in fact my heads, my eyes and my feet. Nurse them, respect them and attend to their needs. Then you would have done your japam, your dhyanam and your puja." So in this line, Guru Padaranjana, Guru Paramesha, we adore the lotus feet of the one who is all-pervasive, and by serving that all-pervasive Lord present in everyone, how we can serve the feet of this supreme preceptor. Let's move on to the third line.
Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu Mahesha.
Here Brahma denotes Lord Brahma, who according to ancient Indian culture and spirituality is one of the holy trinity of gods. Lord Brahma is responsible for the creation of the cosmos. Similarly, Vishnu or Narayana takes care of the sustenance of the cosmos. And Mahesha comes from Maha, meaning great, and Isha. It is an often used name for Lord Shiva, who according to Indian culture is the aspect of divinity responsible for the final dissolution of the cosmos. During a summer course discourse in May 2000, Bhagwan revealed the inner significance of the Holy Trinity. He even mentioned that this was the first time that he was revealing how the vision of the Trinity can be had within one's own self. And Swami said, it is not possible to directly see the Trinity in the cosmos. However, if one is able to understand the Trinity principle within oneself, then it becomes easier to comprehend the Trinity in the cosmos. The Atma or the Hridaya, the spiritual heart, is also known as Ishvara. The mind is born of the Atma and is the embodiment of Vishnu. Since the mind pervades the whole universe, it is identified with Vishnu. Next, we have Brahma. Traditionally, Brahma is pictured as being seated in a lotus that emerges from the navel of Vishnu. In the individual, Swami said, Brahma is associated with speech. He manifests as the spoken word. This is because the mind is the origin of word. Brahma, Vishnu, and Ishvara have no specific form, but they manifest in this manner in the individual as the three principles of heart, mind, and word. Then Bhagwan went on to explain how we can reflect the Trinity within us. Be firm in the faith that a pure heart is Ishvara, a pure mind is Vishnu, and a pure speech is Brahma. Rooted in this faith, make proper use of your God-given faculties. Good results will inevitably follow, and in the end, you are certain to merge with the Lord. In fact, in the Ashtotra Shatanamavali, the 108 names used to worship Bhagwan, there is a line, Om Shri Sai Murti Traya Swarupaya Namaha, which means we pay obeisance to Sai, who is the embodiment of the Holy Trinity of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. In fact, we have seen how Baba creates objects from nothing. He preserves the objects without diminution or decline, and he dissolves the objects into nothing. He is in fact the Dattatreya principle, the Murtitreya Swarupa. So in this line, we offer our obeisance to the one who creates, who preserves, and who finally dissolves. Let's move on to the fourth line.
Sadguru Sai Parti Purisha.
Sadguru comes from Sat, which means true, and Guru. The word Parti Purisha can be split into Parti, Puri, and Isha. Parti refers to the holy hamlet of Puttaparthi, which the Supreme Lord chose for his advent as Satya Sai. The word Puri means place, and Isha means master. So in this line, we salute Sai, the supreme preceptor, who is the Lord of Puttaparthi.
Charana namostu te Sai Mahesha.
The first word charan means feet. The second word namostu te means obeisance. It is derived from namaha, meaning salutation, astu meaning be, and te means you. Thus namostu te means I salute you, I offer my respects to you. According to ancient Indian culture and spirituality, the traditional way of greeting another person while saying Namostute or Namaste is to bring both the palms together in front of the chest and bow the head to the other person. When we greet the other person in this manner, it means may our minds meet. Bowing down the head is a way of expressing love, respect, and humility. It acknowledges the fact that the divinity in me or in you is the same in all. And this greeting applies to everyone, whether those who are younger than us or of our own age or older, or friends or strangers. Mahesha comes from Maha, meaning great, and Isha. There's a beautiful incident narrated by Mr. T.G. Krishnamurthy, the former state president of Satya Sai Organization of Tamil Nadu, India. This happened in 1967 during his first visit to Anantapur to have darshan of Bhagwan. After a few days, a senior devotee told him that Bhagwan wanted him to drive him around Anantapur. For the first 2 days, Bhagwan and the senior devotee would come out and Mr. Krishnamurthy would happily open the rear door for Bhagwan to enter. The senior devotee would sit in the front seat and give directions to Mr. Krishnamurthy. By the third day, Mr. Krishnamurthy had become quite familiar with the layout of Anantapur, and that morning Bhagwan came out earlier than usual and asked him to start the car immediately. He said that it was not necessary to wait for the senior devotee. And he drove, and from time to time Bhagwan would give him directions. They had left the outskirts of the town and they were driving along a village road when Bhagwan suddenly asked him to stop near a big banyan tree where a cobbler was seated. And now Bhagwan lowered the glass window and said, "I have come." Mr. Krishnamurthy was quite surprised at the tone of familiarity. On Bhagwan's instructions, the cobbler now sat in front of the car and they drove off, with the cobbler giving directions to Mr. Krishnamurthy. And soon they reached the cobbler's hut. The cobbler got down from the car and requested Bhagwan to come in. Mr. Krishnamurthy, who was then very new into the Sai fold, was wondering what Bhagwan would do. But Bhagwan now got down with a divine smile and happily went inside and even asked Mr. Krishnamurthy to follow him. Actually, there was a strong and unpleasant leathery smell within that hut, and the cobbler now spread a torn mat on the mud floor and Bhagwan happily sat on it. Mr. Krishnamurthy found the smell too overpowering and in fact was looking for an opportunity to slip out. But Bhagwan would have none of it. In fact, Bhagwan told him to sit, and so he had no option but to obey. The cobbler's wife and children came to Bhagwan and they offered Pada Namaskaram. They touched his feet and Swami blessed them profusely. In fact, Bhagwan started fondling and caressing his children with his divine hands. And after some time, the cobbler said, "Swami, can I offer a glass of buttermilk?" Swami said, "Gladly, surely." And the cobbler brought the buttermilk in an aluminium glass with a few dents on it. And Mr. Krishnamurthy was surprised to see Bhagwan happily sipping it. But he was alarmed because he wondered what sort of water the cobbler had used to make the buttermilk, whether it was the well water or pond water, and either of them are highly likely to be contaminated. In fact, he was feeling that Bhagwan should have declined to drink it. And as he was having such thoughts, Bhagwan told the cobbler that Mr. Krishnamurthy also is thirsty, why don't you serve him? And when cobbler now brought a glass of buttermilk for him, Mr. Krishnamurthy almost fainted at the thought of drinking that buttermilk. He tried his best to suppress his reservations, but somehow drank because Bhagwan was there sitting looking at him. He was praying all the time that he should not have a stomachache or diarrhea. And finally, after they were all very happy, he came out of the hut. And Mr. Krishnamurthy ran towards the car and opened the door for Bhagwan to get in. Bhagwan sat in the car and again blessed the family and told Mr. Krishnamurthy to drive back. After reaching the main road, Mr. Krishnamurthy could not contain himself any longer and he asked why Bhagwan had to come all the way to the cobbler's hut and drink his buttermilk. Swami could have easily brought the cobbler to his residence in Anantapur. And when he told Bhagwan this, Swami said, "This cobbler was an ardent devotee in his previous birth. But at a later stage of his life, he did some inhuman acts as a result of which he was born in a family of low caste and had to work as a cobbler. The consequences of his many good acts also accompanied him and shaped his character in this life. I have many devotees all over the world. They do puja daily, observe all the rituals and participate in holy festivals, go to temples and pilgrimage centers and put money in hundis in temples. But all this is done mechanically and these actions have no beneficial effect on their character, nor do they lead to their spiritual upliftment. This cobbler is of low caste and is not allowed to enter temples. Neither does he have money to go on pilgrimages, nor can he spare money to put in hundis or give away as charity. I came in his dream and showed my divine form. And from that day onwards, he began worshipping my form with full devotion and dedication. He would regard every customer's feet as my feet and carry out his work after touching the feet with reverence and addressing him as Swami. Whenever the customer asked him how much he should pay, he would always say, "As you please, Swami," and would happily accept what was given. Every time he uttered Swami reverentially, it would reach me because he did it with all sincerity. And that is how he experienced my divine form every day. He talks to me regularly from within, and I give him solace and bliss also from within. In this way, he offers me pranams every day, and that is why he could recognize me when I appeared before him physically and he talked to me in such a familiar manner. Now the consequences of his bad acts have worked themselves out, and the time has come for him to reap the consequences of his good acts, and that is why I have come to bless him and his wife and his children. He will soon have a house with a concrete roof, his children will be married and comfortably settled, and he will be my ardent devotee throughout his life, and I will always have a watch over him and his family. Mr. Krishnamurti was speechless. Even before he could ask anything, Bhagwan forestalled that by saying, "Krishnamurti, forget the whole thing. Drive safely." The cobbler was no doubt blessed, but so was Mr. Krishnamurti to have heard this wonderful narration and witnessed this spectacular episode from Bhagwan's life. When we make sincere efforts to see the Lord in all and serve Him, the Lord goes all out to serve us and be with us. So in this line, Charana Namostute Sai Mahesha, we bow reverentially at the feet of the Supreme Lord Sai, who has taught us to see Him in all and to serve Him in all. And with this, dear listeners, we are done with understanding the inner meaning of every word of this bhajan, at least to some extent. And now, with this deeper understanding, let's proceed listening to the complete version of the bhajan.
साक्षात् परब्रह्म साईं गुरु वंदना सत्य साईं साक्षात् परब्रह्म
Now in the end, here is a short conversation with Brother Balram Chandran, a former student of Bhagwan's University, a member of the Prashanti Bhajan group, and who sings regularly now in Sundaram Bhajans, the bhajans that are held in Bhagwan's abode in Chennai. Can you share some insights about how to cultivate bhavam?
Of course, I think I shared this last time, is about celebrating the Lord. You know, the sense that you install him on a chair. And then you, for example, if you sing Shiva 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 Shirdi Purishwara Shambho Shankara Samba Shivo, it's very easy to actually imagine when you sing Kailasa Chala Bala Shiva Kala Koota Dhara Bala Shiva. It's very easy to actually imagine all those Buddha Kanasma actually dancing around him. I mean, that is celebrating the Lord. Yes. And somehow you feel so proud, no?
Yes.
When your Swami is being praised by... Yeah. I think last time I shared this Bhajare Ramacharan and that text in Sundaram. So that was another case where you actually imagine Tyagaraja is actually praising Rama and Hanuman himself is praising Swami. And finally they kneel down before him and say that you are Rama. So that is, I think, celebrating the Lord. Or if it's a Krishna bhajan, that's when you actually imagine the... It's very easy to imagine Swami on the chair and then people circling around. And there are very interesting bhajans where Jai Hari Bol Jai Sita Ram Gopi Gopal Bhajo Radhe Shyam. So first half of the line, it is all the Vanaras were dancing around him. And Gopi Gopala Bhajo's immediately the Gopis and the Gopalas dancing.
Yes.
So it's
I know.
So that is one method. And... So that is if you that is another method, as I can see. If you see the other methods which I generally, if nothing works, one other method I try to use, a slideshow method. I mean, these are all my terms, Abhidhav. This slideshow method is where you would have seen so many videos of Swami, or you would have seen Swami sitting in bhajans and gesturing.
Yes.
So if nothing works, I'm in a mood where I'm not able to cook up a story, I'm not able to visualize the Lord being celebrated or anything, then I just try and imagine that Swami is actually sitting on the on his chair and then trying to move his hand, or Swami is actually clapping. I think if you watch videos of Swami, you see photos, it does take effort. Is it conscious? Initially, answer is yes. I remember somebody, when I attended the bhajan conference in Vrindavan, somebody mentioned this beautifully. Yes, is this imagination? The answer is yes. But then I think this gentleman said, I think it was Prakash Rao sir from Vizag, he said that faith is the ability to believe in what you do not see. Faith is just the ability to believe in what you do not see. But the reward for faith is the ability to see what you believe in.
Yes.
So ultimately, I think someday we would definitely see Swami sitting on the chair, and you would definitely see what you are, I think, visualizing.
Yeah.
So that was Brother Balram Chandran, a former student and a Mandir Bhajan singer, sharing his reflections. And with that, we've come to the end of this current episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek. T.S. Ramakrishnan from Chennai and another alumnus has done the background music for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to this program. If you have any comments or feedback, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org.